Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the first chapter of the book of Joshua.
Joshua chapter 1. Let's stand out of respect to the word of God as we read these first 9 verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, now as we endeavor to spend a few moments in it, Father, we confess our need of your blessed Holy Spirit to help us. Fill each one of us just now, that we may be fully yielded unto thee and thy control, in order that your word might be profitable. And Lord, as we come to the invitation at the end of the service, Lord, that we might make decisions that would glorify you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We looked briefly at Joshua last week. And I think as we come into the passage before us in the message, it's important to understand who Joshua is. Joshua, as far as we know, was born in Egypt. In fact, he most certainly would have been born in Egypt when Israel was held captive there. And then as the children of Israel cried out for deliverance, and God then sent Moses, assisted by Aaron, to lead the children of Israel out, and sent the 10 plagues on Egypt, Joshua was there. He witnessed all 10 of the plagues. Now, if you remember about the first half of the plagues, Israel experienced them as well. But then God separated between Israel and the Egyptians, and God manifested his power in that way. And so Joshua was observing firsthand all of this going on. And then the Passover took place. And Joshua would have heard the instruction, just as all the other Israelites had from the mouth of Moses, about taking the lamb and sacrificing it and taking the blood and spreading it on the lintels of the door so that the death angel might pass over their house. And Joshua's family would have done just the same. And he would have been there to hear the cry of all the Egyptians who failed to do so and didn't take God's word seriously. And they lost loved ones and they lost livestock as a result. Joshua saw that. And Joshua was there when the Egyptians drove the Hebrews out of the land. And as they were preparing to go and packing their belongings, and Joshua was there when he saw the families of the Hebrews go to the families of the Egyptians and say, hey, can I borrow $1,000? Can I borrow all your jewels and gems? As crazy as that sound, the Egyptians knew that when they sent them out, they would never be returning. How could they ever return the things that they took? And yet the Egyptians were so desperate to get rid of the Jews, they gave them everything they had of value. Joshua saw all that. Joshua was there when Israel came to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army, led by Pharaoh, having second thoughts, to come retake the Hebrews and bring them back into Egypt so they can continue to be a slave race for the Egyptian people and build great cities and monuments for Pharaoh. Joshua was there when the dust cloud of the Egyptians became visible and the people of Israel began to panic and ask Moses, what do we do now? Because the Red Sea is blocking our exit. And he witnessed Moses take the rod of God and hold it up over the sea and saw those waters part so that the nation of Israel was able to pass through in a mighty path. He saw as they got to the other side and the Egyptian armies were now in the depths of the sea, though following the same path on dry land that Israel had followed to escape them. Joshua was there when Moses turned around and the waters came crashing down on the Egyptians. Joshua saw all that. As we saw last week with the battle with the Amalekites, how Joshua was there and in fact, leading the armies of Israel, untrained, a slave race would not be allowed to learn how to fight and to war. And yet, here they are going against the seasoned warriors of Amalek. And we talked about how Moses prayed for Joshua and saw the great victory. Well, Joshua was there and saw a victory against great odds. And he was there on Mount Sinai, as we talked about last week. Joshua saw all these things, all these great workings of God. And then we come to Joshua chapter 1. Moses is now with the Lord. Joshua is now in charge of the nation of Israel. You would think Joshua would be able to step into the shoes of Moses very easily, having witnessed all that he had seen. That he would have no wavering of his faith and no fear or trepidation at the task that lay before him to take Israel over the Jordan River and to go conquer the land. Especially when you read the first part of the commandment or the charge here by God to Joshua saying, I've given you the land, go take it, I'll be with you, I'll not fail you, nor forsake thee, as he says at the end of verse number 5. And then we come to verse number 6. And you read that first phrase of verse number 6, and considering all that I've said already, doesn't the beginning of verse number 6 just make you want to scratch your head and say, what in the world is going on here? Now remember, this is God speaking personally to Joshua. God knows our hearts. He knew what was going on in the mind and the heart of Joshua at that very moment. And as he's telling Joshua what he wanted him to do, giving him the charge, he says, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And he repeats a very similar phrase in verse number 7 when he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then again, he repeats it in verse number 9. The second phrase, he says, be strong and of a good courage. I find it very interesting that Joshua, knowing who he is and what he's experienced, what he's witnessed, would have to be encouraged by God to be strong and of a good courage. I think the reason God is doing that is because Joshua is just a man. Just like we are as men. And as men on this Father's Day, we too have been given a charge by God, and our task is no less important than what Joshua's was to lead Israel to conquer the promised land. That the things that God has appointed for us are just as important. And that God, if He were able to whisper audibly, and certainly He can, but if He would whisper audibly to you and to me, men, He would say to you and to me, be strong and of a good courage. Now, let's take each of these times God said it to him, because in each time the situation is just a little bit different. And as we see why God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage, I think each of these three reasons apply in our lives and the situation God has placed us in as fathers in the home and as men in the church and as men out in our society and our community. The first time he says it in verse number 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In other words, it says, Joshua, you've got work to do. Be strong and of a good courage to do the work that God has laid out before you. Now, if you remember when many years after this occurrence, Israel was settled in the land and they had their first king, King Saul. You remember when the Philistines came up to battle one day and they brought their champion. What was their champion's name? Goliath. And we're all familiar with what took place in what we call the story of David and Goliath. Now, it's a good story for us, but for Goliath, it wasn't a good story, was it? In fact, it wasn't just a story. We use that word story, and it becomes like a fairy tale or a fable, but the fact of the matter is it's history. It's the history of David and Goliath. And when David went on orders of his father, being obedient, doing what his father had told him to do, was taking the food for his brothers and some food, some cheese for their commander. And then David wanders off to see how the brothers are doing. Now, his dad had told him to do that. And he saw Goliath come and just blaspheme God in heaven and challenge the armies of Israel. That kind of made David's blood boil a little bit. But you remember what happened when his brother confronted him and rebuked him and said, David, you just want to try to do something here. I know your heart. Didn't David say, is there not a cause? There's a work for us to do, men. And I echo with David, is there not a cause? You see, we're busy doing work and earning a living for our family. And so often that takes first place in our lives. And we forget the cause that God has put us here to raise our children and be the example to them that God wants us to be. So that when they get to an age of accountability, they'll have seen God living in us through holiness and through compassion and through love that he will, or she will, our child will then naturally receive Christ as their Savior. You see, that's your job, that's your responsibility. And the cool part about it is when our children are raised to adults and then we have grandchildren, we get to do it all over again. We're still an example. That's still the work that God has called us to do, to be an example of godliness to the next generation so that they'll see godliness and they'll see holiness and they'll see compassion and they'll see love. So that they'll understand who God in heaven is and what He's all about. Unfortunately, we have too many bad examples in Christianity today and in our community today, and our kids are growing up with no idea who God is. Because dads have dropped the ball. Is there not a cause? Our kids are worth it, and our churches are worth it, and our community is worth it, and our country is worth it. Men, be strong, be courageous for the work that God has called you to do. But we know there's an adversary out there who is very real. His name is the devil and Satan. And God gives a lot of different names to him. But the fact of the matter is he was created as the highest of God's creation until man came along. But he decided that he wanted all the worship of man. And so he decided he was going to be God. And he sinned and God drove him out. And he's been God's adversary ever since then, and he's been the adversary of anyone who is trying to do anything for God. Men, be strong and be courageous because you've got a work to do, but there'll be an adversary trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to compromise, trying to get you to not care about what God has called you to do. Don't let other things take its place, the work God has called you to do. He'll try to distract you and try to get you doing good things, but not the thing that God wants you to do. Men, be strong and courageous for the work God has called you to do. Just as God is challenging Joshua here, saying, go take the land and divide it up. That's your task, Joshua. You see, there is a cause and there is an adversary, but also keep in mind the time is short. In John chapter 9, verse 24, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. God has given us an opportunity. In fact, the Bible talks about an open door for ministry. We certainly have that here in the United States of America. There's been several communities across our nation that have tried to stop Christians from going door to door and trying to win people to Christ and invite them out to their church. And they've challenged that. And they try to license that and trying to make it against the law unless you go to City Hall and get permission to do it. And that's been challenged and beaten every single time. We still have that free right here in the United States of America, the right of free speech. They're trying to cut corners here and there on our free speech, but the fact of the matter is it's still easy for us. We've got a wide open door to evangelize. When's the last time you told someone about Christ? Think about this. The night cometh when no man can work. Imagine being a saint during the tribulation period when the Antichrist is coming at you with everything he has, with all of his resources dedicated, not primarily, but that's the primary focus of his, is to destroy the Christian. Imagine putting yourself there and then thinking about the ones that lived during our era who didn't witness for Christ. They will witness at the cost of their lives, and yet we do it, and we don't want to do it because people might laugh at us or people might make a face at us that they're not receptive or they're not willing to hear it. And that scares us off. God says, be strong and courageous, for the time is short. Do the work God has called you to do, men. Churches are dying. We talked about a couple of reasons this morning in Sunday school, and this is one of them, because we're not out there evangelizing. We don't have the faith to believe that God still saves today. We think somebody else is going to do it, and so we don't do it because we don't have faith that God can use me. Man, this is our calling. This is our work. This is what God has given us a commission to do, to preach the gospel to every creature. But the time is short. Even if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetimes, we don't have any guarantee on our lifetime, do we? What is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and vanisheth. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. What are we doing with our time? The time is short. But keep in mind, as you consider being strong and courageous to do the work, keep in mind that the Lord is coming, and He's bringing His rewards with Him. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse number 12, Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." There's nothing you do for God that goes unnoticed. You know who our real heroes were during this past week? Now, as far as I know, we had four young people trust Christ as Savior. You know who the real heroes were? In my mind, now I might be mistaken and someone else may point someone else out, but I think our real heroes were our registration table workers. And I'm afraid they might feel like they didn't really have that big of a part. But you folks don't realize how easy it made it for everything else. If we can file those kids through the registration quickly, we can keep order and then accomplish something during Bible school. But if they stand in line a long time, kids do what kids do. They're going to find a way to occupy themselves, and they're going to get out of hand. And so that when we get them down into their classes and during story time, we just can't get the story. We can't keep them under control. So even though you may not have been busy the whole night, boy, what a great task to have done. Praise God for that. God sees all these things. He's seen everyone who had a part, each one who helped provide the snacks, everyone who maybe donated for the snacks or crafts, all those things, God sees it all. And He says, there's coming a day, I'm coming back. When I come back, it's reward time. What a great day that'll be. And so men, be courageous, be strong. Do the work God has called you to do. Don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anything distract you. Do that which God has called you to do. Well, let's look at verse number 7. God says to Joshua in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage to do the work. Verse number 7, He says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, verse number 8 almost sounds like a contradiction a bit, doesn't it? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and we know it's supposed to. But what's he saying here? What he's saying is get your own house in order before you start trying to tell other people what to do when it comes to God's word. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou mayest, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so he says, men, meditate in the word of God, put it into practice, and then tell others all about it so that they might do the same. So he says, be an example. Don't be one of these dads that say, do as I say, don't do as I do. How many of you ever actually heard that growing up from one of your parents? I did. Isn't that a terrible thing? Didn't you tell yourself at that time, I am never saying that to my kids? I hope you've lived through it. I don't know that I've ever told my kids that statement. And I've tried to live everything I've told them to do. But what God is saying here, men, says, be strong and of a good courage to obey the word. To obey the word. You know, this book is long if you read it. It's got a lot of pages to it. 66 books, all individual, but all a whole. All of those books, or most of those books, have more than one chapter. To read it and to study it and to know what God says, it takes work, doesn't it? And that's why God says to meditate there and day and night. God knows it takes work. But God says it's worth the effort. He says be strong and courageous to get into the Word of God and to study the Word of God so that you can obey the Word of God. Now, we need to have strength and courage, first of all, because the culture is contrary. Because the culture is contrary. Everywhere you turn, they're going to be telling you to do something different than what the Word of God says. They're going to tell you that things are okay that the Word of God says are sin. They're going to tell you to do things and encourage you to do things or say things that the Word of God says is blasphemous or is contrary to what a Christian ought to do. It takes strength and courage to stand up and do right even though everyone else is doing wrong. Everyone wants to follow the crowd and everyone wants to fit in. No one wants to be an oddball. But I'd rather be an oddball with Christ than to fit in with the world and be at enmity with Christ. Because I only have to deal with them for a few short years, but there's coming a day when God comes back and I have to stand before His throne and I have to give an answer for the things that I've done. And if I blended in with the crowd and joined them in their sin just because I couldn't deal with a little peer pressure, imagine how I'm going to have to answer to God with nothing but embarrassment and shame and tears in my eyes. And you won't be any different, men, if you don't have the strength and the courage to stand against this culture. This culture is not a friend to Christianity. And so you need strength and you need courage to obey the world because the culture is contrary, but also secondly because the flesh is weak. You remember when Jesus took the disciples to pray with Him in the garden just before He was betrayed. And what did they do? Three times they fell asleep. Jesus said, the flesh is willing. The spirit is willing. You had a desire with this old flesh. We battle with it all the time, don't we? So we need strength, spiritual strength. And we need courage, spiritual courage, to be able to do the things that God wants us to do and to not do the things that this old flesh wants to do. I only slept a couple hours last night. I'm still wound up from Bible school. I'm thinking I was an idiot to go to vacation the week after Bible school. Because I need a week to recover. And though with all that driving, I don't know that I'll ever do this again. Not if I can help it. But anyway, it's done and I'm going. But you know what I wanted to do this morning? And this almost never happens to me. I wanted to sleep. The old flesh is saying, just stay here a little bit longer. It's not going to hurt anything. You got your messages already. You're good to go. You can sleep through this thing. But you know what the Spirit said? The Spirit said, you need to get up. You need to not be a lazy head. You need to be where you need to be, when you need to be there. This old flesh is something that'll give us trouble all the time. Now, I had a lot of trouble when I first got saved because I drank so much before I got saved. I had trouble giving that up. I praise God he took the drugs away the first day I got saved. That was just the grace of God. And I just really am appreciative to him for that. But he left the desire for the booze there. And that was a struggle. Not because I wanted to go get drunk again. Not because I wanted to go hang out with my friends who cursed and stole and everything else while they were drunk. But it's because this old flesh desired that drunk feeling. And that old flesh desired the taste of the booze. And so this old flesh was battling the spirit. And praise God, the spirit won out. Man, our flesh is weak, and we need to admit that. Now, it's hard for a man it is hard for us to recognize the weakness, and even harder for us to admit it. But man, we've got to admit that this old body gives us trouble in a lot of different areas and in a lot of different avenues. And when we can come face to face with our weakness and turn it over to God, we can then be strong. We've got to have the courage to stand up against the desires of the flesh, in order that God will live through us and be glorified in our lives. And so we need to have strength and courage to obey the word because the flesh is weak, but also because the commandments are demanding. You know, people say that Baptists are strict. I remember before I was saved, and I used to feel sorry for Baptists. Man, they couldn't have any fun. That was my attitude. If they only knew, as I found out, how much fun we have. And you know the good thing about our fun? We actually remember it. Before I got saved, the funner it got was the less you could remember. How much fun is that? They say Baptists are strict. We're not strict. We just do our best to live according to what God's word says. You see, it's God who's strict. It's God who's strict. Look at what he says sometimes. Sometimes these commandments can be tough to adhere to. And so let's just join hands together and be strong and of good courage and do our best by the grace of God to just do what God wants us to do. Another reason we need to be strong and of good courage to obey the word is because unfortunately our peers are few. There's a large number of believers who give lip service to doing the word of God, but when you break it all down, there's really not that many that are really sold out to Christ. There's really not that many. You want to know how many there are? Come to Wednesday night. God says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Come to Wednesday night. How's that old saying go? You want to know how popular the preacher is? Come to Sunday morning. Want to know how popular the church is? Come Sunday night. Want to know how popular God is? Come Wednesday night. But if you want to even put it to even more of a litmus test, show up on Thursday night for visitation. You'll find out how few peers there are of men and of women, too, who really take God's word seriously. Men, I'm trying to challenge you as God challenged Joshua, be strong and of good courage to do the word of God and to obey it as best you can. I understand that sometimes there's physical reasons where we can't do some of these things. And so please don't think I'm attacking anyone in that nature. But if you're young and healthy, there's no reason why you can't do these things. And you know the limitations, and you need to go as far as you can for the glory of God. You know, not only is there just a small number who actually take God's word seriously, but those who don't and pretend to generally scorn those who do. You see, the devil doesn't have to do the work. He doesn't have to send his people to discourage a Christian who sells out, because God's people generally do it by themselves. Because someone gets saved and they're excited and they go out just trying to tell everyone they can that Jesus saves, and then someone's been saved for decades. Oh, they'll stop. They'll die out. Well, why do they stop and die out? It's because the one who's been saved for decades quenches their fire and teaches them through their bad example that that's the way Christians really live. No, that's not the way Christians really live. The way Christians are supposed to live is recorded for us in the book of Acts. Read it sometime. And try to live it sometime. It will change your lives. And so God says to Joshua in verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage to do the work. Be strong and of a good courage to obey the word. And then in verse number 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What I take from this verse is God is charging Joshua to be strong and of good courage in order that he be a good witness. I think what God is telling Joshua here is, look, Joshua, everywhere you go, they're going to know you represent me. And you're going to need strength and a good courage so that people will know that I'm with you. That you can be a good ambassador, a good representative. And so, Joshua, be strong and of good courage and be careful that you speak like God is speaking through you. Joshua, be strong and of good courage so that you always behave as if God is present with you. Joshua, be strong and of a good courage that you always treat other people as if God is with you. Joshua, be strong and of a good courage in order that you might drive your chariot like God is present with you. Isn't that the easiest place to lose your testimony is when you're out on the road? And that person who has all the time in the world gets in front of you, and you're in the biggest hurry you could possibly be in your life. Or that person decides to cut in front of you. What kind of a witness are you then? You see, you don't know who's watching. Chances are someone is. Does the Holy Spirit reveal the Father through you? And so he gives Joshua three distinct and specific charges, and with all of them he says, be strong and of good courage. Men, there is a cause. Do the work, obey the word, be a good witness for our Savior, because he's coming back someday, and you'll have to give an answer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for recording this personal time you had with Joshua. You didn't have to do that. But Father, you knew it would be helpful to us. We knew that your Holy Spirit would take these words and apply them far beyond just the person Joshua. And Father, as we've considered just a few simple thoughts this morning on this passage, Father, challenge us. We know only your Holy Spirit can do that. And so we do pray for Holy Spirit conviction right now in each of our lives. Help us to recognize any shortcomings and failures. And Father, give us the strength and the courage to make a decision to overcome by your grace these failures and weaknesses. Father, we commit this invitation time unto thee in Jesus' name. Amen.